We forgot to say our names.
Oh, do we have?
I'm Liza.
I'm Riss.
And this is the Little Sleep
Much Reading Podcast. Finally, from so little sleeping and so much reading, his brain dried up and he went completely out of his mind.
If you don't know a bitch's name by now,
we can't help you.
we can't help you. We're on episode 90 something. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Also, we need to look into that book that that person asked if we would potentially review. Because color me intrigued.
I am intrigued. I don't know why they thought that it would be for us.
Right, that's exactly my thoughts.
And also, it sounded like they wanted him as like a guest.
Right.
Which I was like,
which is
with
not
us?
right. Like, sir, we are misandrists.
Yeah, for real.
But we'll think about it.
We will strongly consider.
But guess what day it is?
Sunday, June 2nd.
Be who you are for your pride.
Beautiful.
Thank you. We're calling this the queer apocalypse. Because we both ended up picking apocalypse themed gay fiction.
I'm proud of us for that.
I know, we were kind of in sync when we did that. I mean, I think I knew you had told me you were maybe going to read that one. But then I forgot. I technically read two books, which I could have ended up just well, I listened to them. I'll say that. They were both only like 2 hours long on Audible. Really short. But I'm only reviewing one because the other one I did not like very much. It was called,
Sad.
I wanted to like it. I'm sure you've seen it at work, Marissa. It's called Upright Women Wanted. And it's like lesbian cowboy librarians.
Okay, that sounds great.
Sounds like it would be lit, but it was kind of stupid.
I've never seen this book before.
I don't know why we used to have like several many copies at work. Maybe we were supposed to have like an event and then never had the event. Oh Christ.
It's
But
by the lady who wrote Just Like Home.
oh, maybe. I don't know what that book is.
Yes, you do. This one. Oh, God.
No, I know. I even without being able to see, yes, I do know that. Did you read that?
No.
I didn't
I
like
want.
her writing.
Ooh.
Wait, what are you going to say though? You were like, you want to read it?
Yeah.
You could try it.
You could try it.
I'm not going to stop you.
Okay, boy, lesbian librarian lanes.
Boy, lesbian librarian.
So what did you actually reading?
I ended up reading The Seep. By Hannah Porter.
Nice. The Seep. I like that name.
The cover is really pretty too.
I like that cover. That looks familiar.
I'm sure you have it at work.
Hmm.
We used to always have it on the we had an end cap that was once read in one sitting, or like finish before you finish your cup of coffee.
Okay.
Because it's like super, it's like 100 pages.
Yeah.
What did you read?
I read The Z Word by Lindsay King Miller.
Oh, I like the cover of this too.
so fun. It has ladies kissing on it.
Oh my God, how fun is that? The first pride was a riot. The last pride is a bloodbath. That is actually iconic. Was it also short?
It was pretty short. I mean, I think it ended up being. Let me see. It officially is 253.
Okay, that's like a normal size book.
Yeah, it's not bad. It looks really skinny. There's a quote, and I don't know where it is. It's on my Goodreads, but it's not on the book. And it says like the queer Zombieland you didn't know you needed or something like that, which I'm like, to say. I'm sold.
I'm sat actually.
Yeah.
Sit back down. I'm sat.
So, thanks, Lindsay. This is her debut novel. Congratulations.
Good for her. Good for Who wants to post up first?
Up to you, best friend.
What did we do? I feel like you want to go first this time?
Okay.
Slay.
Slay. So yeah, like I said, I read the Z word. I remember when I first found out that this book was coming out, I immediately ordered like five copies for the store. And I was like, I must have this. It's going to go on my. Oh, wait. Before I continue that thought, apparently, people at the big bookstore that I work at have been like, oh my God, Stephen King just came out with a book. Horror season is going to start early this year. And not only that, we realized that. Isn't it crazy? Horror's been actually selling company-wide? Who would have thought that people like horror? So I've got permission to like order up on like all the big publisher books. And I have a table that's new and paperback horror that I keep well stocked and ready. And it got to move to front of store. So,
Congratulations.
four is doing its thing and it's very exciting.
It's because it's Summerween.
Yes.
I can't believe it took people this long to realize that horror is just the best genre.
Right. And I mean, Stephen King's book has been crazy selling,
Of course.
but like, you also have to think all these, like, great authors are coming out with new books this year. Like, I don't know. It's definitely going to be a big one, but like, it's been on the rise.
Right. Period.
So yeah, so I ordered this immediately for my new and paperback horror table. And I was so excited that the cover was like fun and colorful. Because I have the sides separated by like red black horror and then like a blue purple green horror. And this one fits in perfectly. Okay, so in case you don't know, the Z word is a zombie apocalypse queer horror book. And if I'll say anything about it, I'm probably going to say some spoilers in here. It is, in fact, a little bit on the nose. But after like reading it and having digested it, I don't think that that takes away from what it's doing. It's like,
It's like when I read Cotton Candy Massacre. It's not, that wasn't like the best book I've ever read, but it was a fun time. I think sometimes the books that you have that feel like a graphic novel, they're not the best books, but they're a fun time. And I would say that for the Z Word, that it was like a fun time, but it was, it like the writing is pretty good. Yeah, so let's just get into the rating scale. For readability and interest, I gave it an 8. I thought this was pretty fun. It mostly stays in the front story with our main character, Wendy, who I believe is bi. Yes, who is bi. It mainly stays in the front story with her, but sometimes it does like a flashback to her relationship with her ex like a year ago. And like truthfully, yeah, so I'll keep going. Short chapters. It felt like a quick read to me. I don't know why that is, but it did. For language and style, I'm gonna give it like a 6.5. The first chapter hits you off with a lot of gay language and lingo. Which, like, to have it all in the first chapter like that, I was like, okay, we get it. Like, this book is gay. That's fine. It definitely, like, kind of hits you in the face. But I persisted, and I think rightfully so. Like I said, this book feels very like comic booky in the way that things happen. I also feel like I never had such. The sex scenes in this book are like, they felt different. And I don't know if it was because they were queer or if it was because they. I just can't really think of like a horror book that had like action-packed sex scenes in it, if that makes sense. It's usually like bizarre man-written. But I think, yeah, I think these ones were pretty, they're pretty okay. For shelf worthy slash read again, I'm gonna give this an 8. I think this is a really fun book to have on your shelf. It's a good, interesting take on the zombie apocalypse. It's also gay, which we love. And it has, well, okay, I'll get to that later. But I feel like it's beautiful, it's fun, it's zombies. It's good modern horror, I thought. So I think that's good to have on your shelf. For plot, I'm also gonna give it like a 7.5. Mainly because it was very, like I discussed before, on the nose. Like, this book is clearly about corporations who take advantage of the LGBTQ plus community, and how they profit off of them while also like not actually supporting. So it was very on the nose in that way. Like, I could pretty much tell what was happening from the first chapter. But because it was so, I think that the way that Lindsay King Miller wrote her zombies, it felt like a mix between, like, at first when I was reading it, I was like, oh, these feel like I Am Legend, Vampire Zombies. And then as it got more into it, I'm like, oh, these feel like some kind of like possession type zombies. Where they're like puking up blood and they think like weird thoughts. And she has a couple chapters that are from the point of view of like a zombified person. And even like they feel like almost like they're sinking. But then like things will be funny and they're laughing and they don't know why. And like it almost felt also like a little bit like drugs. Which was also really interesting that it would be like that. Yeah, so I think it, I also think that it was just like an interesting take on zombies. And and like some of the things that happen are kind of like crazy, but in like a good graphic novel way, even though this is not a graphic novel, but that's okay. For characterization, I'm gonna give this like an 8. I didn't like all the characters, and like truthfully, I think the way that everyone is kind of with everyone feels like a lot when you're reading the book. But where was I going with that? What was my thought? It was something about, oh, but I liked how I felt like there was a wide amount of representation. You had polyamorous characters, you had a drag queen in it. One of the characters was trans. Like there's just a wide range of it. And I think that it's a very interesting portrayal of like a queer community in a small town. And I thought that that was really great. I will say the main character, Wendy, she's not exactly likable. And she's very like Fleabag-esque. But that's great. That's what the people want, and that's what the people like. We like characters that we can look at and see all of our bad parts in. And I think she's very much like that. She's very self-sabotaging. She's very meek when she kind of shouldn't be. But she makes for a good zombie apocalypse main character. And that's really all we need. Yeah, and I also think with a funny, silly, action-packed graphic or graphic novel like book like this, I think it's really interesting to have all of that, but also have it be like, here's social commentary on the world that we're living in and all of these things that are happening and blah 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 blah. I think all of horror is social commentary, but social horror is also so important in becoming more and more of a thing. And I really appreciate that. So overall, I really liked this book. It probably won't be my favorite of the year. But it's definitely okay. It's definitely mid-range, and I would definitely recommend it to people. So
I love social horror.
we love social horror. It's so good.
It's so good. It's so important. I couldn't actually figure out whether it was a graphic novel or not when I Googled
It looks like a graphic novel. And again, like the way that things happen, like I'm gonna spoil this, but there's a part at the end where like, the our group of survivors is about to be overcome by these like rage-filled zombies who attack like the loudest thing in the room.
Yeah.
And of course, what else happens besides a pizza delivery and like the the car like swerves in and it gets out, and it's like the they them pizza delivery person, you know what I mean?
Very much.
Yeah, so which is
Very.
we like that.
We love that. That's
When
very
that
sweet.
happens, they're like, we gotta order a pizza. Like, it's great.
No, I actually am obsessed with that.
It's really fun.
And it is foreshadowing for next week ish. The idea of a graphic novel.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a bit. I hate when my computer fan turns on. Why does it do that?
I know, mine too.
Anyway, very interesting as well because mine was a rather, yours was a very violent apocalypse, and mine is a very quiet apocalypse,
Delicious.
which I love. I love both. It's hard for me to pick what my favorite is. But yeah, so I read The Seep by Hannah Porter, and this is an alien invasion based apocalypse. And it's really interesting because most of the book takes place like a while after the alien invasion. Like, so I don't even know if you call it an apocalypse. I feel like you can because it's like the end of the world as we know it, but everybody doesn't die, obviously. But the thing I did think was interesting about like, so it's aliens, and the aliens are called the Seep. And people know the aliens are coming before they come, which I feel like is kind of realistic. Like, I feel like we would probably, given our technology and how far we can look into space, like, we would probably know if there was aliens coming a little bit before they showed up. And the thing that I thought was really haunting, but also kind of iconic, because this would be me as hell, is that like before the apocalypse hit, a bunch of people were just like killing themselves because they were like, I'm not fucking around and finding out. And I always say that would be me in an apocalypse. Like the minute the news broke of the Last of Us situation or like the zombie apocalypse in the Z word, like I'm out. I'm done. And the same is for if the aliens are coming, I'm not waiting to find out what they do. I don't care. I'll be dead. So I thought that was iconic, but also like very haunting. Like you never really see people touch on that aspect of the apocalypse. Like for some reason, the stories are always focusing on people who are just like gonna deal with the apocalypse. And I'm like, well, that's not really realistic. So I did think that was really interesting that she included that. I would also like to note that Hannah Porter is a playwright, and I don't know if she has a bunch of plays, and this is like her only novel, or if she has a few novellas, but it was really cool knowing that she was a playwright because you could definitely tell from the writing. I really liked the writing. And actually, I think this book would be kind of like perfect for the stage, like a stage adaptation. So that was cool. But yeah, the bulk of the book actually takes place like a while after the aliens have invaded. And the thing about the Seep is they're not technically malicious. Their purpose in life is to like, they can kind of grant any wish, they can do anything, and they take all like negative feelings out of the world. So like there's like peace, like everybody's supposed to be happy. And like the trade-off is that like they get to have like sentient, like physical form and like sentience because they're like almost like gaseous when they're in space. They don't really have like, and they're not like individuals, like they're sort of like an entity. But when they come to Earth, they're like more concentrated and they can have like individual lives. So the trade-off is that they're like, well, if we give you humans whatever we want and we take all like sadness and like war and hate out of the world, and you let us sort of just walk around and live our lives. So that's like the sort of trade-off. And so nothing actually really violent at all happens, but I think the overall message is that like the reason like humans are supposed to be human, like we're not supposed to be perfect, we're not supposed to have whatever we want, and that's kind of what makes us special, I suppose. So I think that's sort of like the message of the book. But it's really interesting and like one of the main ideas of the story is like you can kind of change what you look like. And there's like really interesting conversations around that. So you can affect whether you age or not. So a lot of people stop aging. But you can also like turn yourself into an animal. It's almost like the capital too, where you can like have crazy colored skin and you can be like half animal or like this, that, and the other. But like you can also turn yourself into a child again. Like you can just become a baby and like redo your life over. And that's sort of the main issue in the book is it's a couple, it's a lesbian couple, and I believe the narrator slash main character is actually a trans woman, and that is really interesting as well because like she's obviously transitioned before the apocalypse happened, and but obviously like if people who are transitioning after the seep comes like are having a very different experience with being able to like change their bodies and like address their body dysmorphia than she did. And like obviously she could change her body now, but I think she kind of chooses not to for that reason. It's because she was already like, I became who I felt like I was and who I wanted to be before the seep gave me the option to have it be like this sort of drastic. But the main issue with her storyline is that her wife wants to become a child again and do her life over. And that's essentially her dying. And she's like, will you be my mother? And obviously the main character is like, no, I will not be doing that. And so it's almost like having to deal with like a death because they have to essentially obviously break up. And then her wife turns into a baby and then goes and lives in, I think, like France, the south of France, with like a nice Persian couple is the like, and like they never see each other again. And like, that's so sad. And even though it's like, okay, I guess that's nice that this woman gets to like do her life over in the way that she wanted, and maybe she'll be like more accepted as a queer person, like getting to do life over in this like era of the steep. But like, it's also really devastating, obviously, for the main character. And I don't know. It's just really interesting to think about. And it brings up a lot of sort of moral dilemmas in that sense, like about what would happen if you could do anything you wanted. So, like, everybody in the book is queer, which I also thought was really cool. Like, you almost like just, there's no mention of any sort of straight cis people. Like, it's not about them. But the other thing is that like another like moral dilemma problem that occurs is the main character, like one of her friends who she's known this whole time to be like brown, like I think he's supposed to be like Indian or something. It turns out that that's just the face and body of his ex-boyfriend who died before the seep occurred, and that he's actually was born a white guy. And so she's like, you can't just take like a brown kid's skin and start living as a brown person. Because she's brown also. I think she's like indigenous, half Native American, half like Jewish or something like that. And her girlfriend was obviously like also something, not specific, but. And so she's like, you can't just be a white dude like walking around. Like you've been living as a brown guy for as long as I've known you, like that's fucked up. And he's like, no, it's not fucked up at all. Like the seep can like make you be anything you want. Like, and he's like, it's kind of like a looking at it as like an homage to his ex-lover who died as like wearing his face. And that's so fucked up. And like it just makes you think about the fact like if you could really have anything you want, like how messed up would the world actually be? So yeah, that is the general plot of the book, and you kind of get to realize that like the seep is a little bit more sinister than it comes off across, and also the fact that like, okay, now you're living a world where there's people who remember the before times, but there's also children who are being raised only knowing what life is like in the seep and not knowing what life was like before. So it just brings up a lot of really interesting questions about like humanity as a whole. But for readability, I gave this book an 8. I thought it was super interesting. It's so short, definitely worth the read. You could read it in one sitting, and when I listened to it, it was only like 2 hours, I want to say. And that's why I think it would be such a really cool stage play. For language and style, I gave it a 7. I really liked her writing style. Like I said, as a playwright, I think playwrights just have something really special about them. And part of it is definitely that they do dialogue better than anybody else I come across. And the other thing is that they know they're more particular with their details of description. And I think that's really important because honestly, sometimes you read a book and you're like, okay, get to the fucking point. Like, I don't need to, like, you're bogging me down with details that are not driving the plot or painting a picture at this point. So, what are we doing here? And I really appreciate that playwrights, they're scarce with their details, honestly. And I think it actually works really well, especially in a setting like this, because, like, I could so see it unfolding on a stage and also the fact that, like you wouldn't need a lot of set, but you're still obviously living in this like alien apocalypse with these people wearing like crazy and looking crazy and wearing crazy outfits. But a lot of that is left up to your imagination, which I think is really cool, and I really appreciated that. For shelf worthiness, I gave it a 7. I definitely think this is worth picking up. It's worth adding to the collection. Especially if you're someone who likes kind of dystopian fiction, horror, but also queer fiction. Really freaking cool. I might read it again. It's so short that it wouldn't, you know, there's no reason not to read it. And I also feel like there's some interesting stuff that I like maybe didn't pick up on listening to it. So I would like to maybe actually get a physical copy one day and read it. For plot, I gave it an 8. I thought this was so clever. I'd never heard of any other. I don't think I've heard of any other like positive alien invasion before. Like, I'm trying to think of one. And they're all usually really fucking scary. And like, this is obviously still really scary, but it's weird. The reason it's scary is weird. And we've talked about this a thousand times, but like, we love the idea of like a quiet apocalypse. Like, I've definitely read other quiet apocalypse fiction, which I just love. But yeah, the alien, and I don't usually like alien stuff. Like, I usually think it's a little bit lame, unless it's Nope, because that movie is the best movie of all time. But yeah, so I don't know. The plot was really cool and really original, and I would honestly love to read more stuff from this author. I hope she writes some more little novellas, honestly. And then for characterization, I gave this book an 8. Like I said, it was entirely a cast of queer people and like people of color, which is really rare, honestly, sometimes to see. But not in a way that felt like tokenized. Like, it just felt all very natural and like honestly made sense because obviously, like, these people are going to be friends with each other. So yeah, it didn't feel like, I feel like sometimes you get nervous with like the Pride books that they're going to be like weirdly tokenized. And I didn't get that vibe from this at all. And like, all of the characters feel really realistic, and even though they're all like pretty bizarre, but you really kind of like empathize and sympathize and resonate with the main character, and you feel so like, I don't know, like she's the only one, I think, that clings to her humanity after the Seep invades in a way that nobody else does. And like, she's still feeling these like big emotions that everybody else has kind of like sworn off. So she's just a really interesting character to sort of like be close to as the novel progresses. If anything, you have like a hard time understanding everyone else's logic because they're like, they've essentially gone a little bit crazy now that they can have anything they want and be whoever they want, and you know, this, that, and the other. Yeah, so it's a really cool, almost like thought experiment type book. Like, what would you do if the sheep came and then you could have and be whatever you wanted? Like, it's interesting. Like, definitely proposes some moral dilemmas, to say the least. But yeah, that's The Seep by Hannah Porter. And that's that on it.
Is it weird if I don't think I would change myself?
No, I don't think I would either. Because then once you start, you wouldn't be able to stop, is my thing.
Yeah, and also, like, I could always be worse. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And, like, what if I'm like, oh my God, I hate my nose, and then I change my nose, and then my face looks different? You know what I mean? Like, look better.
Yes. That freaks me out because then you're just not you anymore. And that's scary. That's a little spooky.
Honestly, two great books.
Two great books. Really good, fun week.
Yours sounded really interesting.
It was cool. I think you'd like it. And I would like to read yours too. Like, I think we had a fun week.
Slay, trade.
Trade. Bestie, what's next week? Because I feel like you're especially excited about this one, but I'm also excited.
So next week, we're going to be discussing a graphic novel that I read years ago, and it came out in 2017. Ended on a cliffhanger, and the sequel just came out. So
And
it's gonna
I've.
my favorite thing is Monsters Week.
Favorite thing is. And I've never read it, so I'm gonna read the first one and you're gonna read the second, the new one.
Have you read the second? It's great.
Good. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm excited to start. I'm probably gonna start the first one either later today or tomorrow.
It'll be quick. Even though it's like a thick graphic novel, so it's like unless you're gonna spend some time on it, you probably can't read it in one sitting.
Right.
But it is so beautiful in like content, in the pictures, and it's just like she did a fantastic job, and I love her.
I'm really excited. So we'll see you guys for favorite. My favorite thing is Monster.
Bye.
Bye. Oh my God, also, I'm so glad my computer is okay now.
Oh, what happened?
It was like the whole screen, like he explained it and I was confused, but I was like, I don't care, just fix it. Like the copper wires between the like display panel and the like actual computer panel got like disconnected. So my whole screen had like hot pink like blocks on it. And you could like move the mouse, but you couldn't like see what you were doing, obviously. And then when I was like Googling what is this, everybody was calling it the pink screen of death. And they were like, you have to like get a new computer, like this is this, that, and the other. It's something with the hard drive. And I was like, I'm gonna kill myself. Like, I need my computer to be okay. And thank God it was just a disconnection between the screen. So they fixed it within like a few hours and it was okay.
Yeah, you brought it in and you were like, I've got the pink screen of death. And he was like, you don't, you're fine.
That's literally exactly what occurred. So bless up, we're back. We were only out of commission for a few hours. Everything's okay.
Yay, and she lives, and the
And she
laptop lives.
lives. Do you still have Cannoli's cage?
Yeah.
That's haunting.
It is haunting.
Get a new one.
A new hedgehog?
Yeah.
So it could be bad.
Maybe get like something else.
A
Like a
lizard?
lizard, like a bearded dragon.
Yeah.
I was gonna
A
say a
little
rat.
queen. Oh, a rat?
Yeah.
Mom would kill me if I brought home a rat.
They're no different than a fucking hedgehog.
I agree, but other people do not.
Maria would be like, that's a fucking rat if I
No
ever
hairless one.
saw naked mole rat. The baby.
I like that idea.
Think about it.
I Hi. You want to
Eliza. I love
Eliza?
her.
Okay. We have Sylvie today, so she's getting Sylvie ready.
Is he going to Pride?
I wish I offered to take him. No, he's going to Chuck E. Cheese.
He'll like that better.
Probably. I don't remember what I was saying. Oh, in Marissa book news,
Yes.
I cleared off. I have two shelves for my TBR shelf, and the books aren't, how normal books should be. They're like stacked because I get more room that way and double stacked. And so this weekend, I built my TBR cart and I put all my TBR books on it and they all fit. And I was so happy.
Lay, that's awesome.
I gained two shelves.
How exciting is that? Now you can go out and buy two shelves worth of books.
Well, I have two shelves, but I have like all the books that we read last year, I didn't put any of them on my shelf. They're just stacked up. So I have those and the books that I've been reading this year that have to go.
You're gonna just need a whole library, a Marissa library.
Yeah.
And it's that simple, it's fine.
It's an addiction.
It's an addiction, but it's a, what's that TikTok? It's like, but it's a, maybe I am, it is a problem, but it's a good problem. Or like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And that's a, that's what being obsessed with books is all about, you know?
It could always be worse.
You could be addicted to drugs.
It could be drugs. Also, this past weekend was someone's birthday.
It was my birthday. 25.
25.
25. I'm
Did you have
officially,
fun?
I'm too old for Leonardo DiCaprio now. And my frontal lobe is fully developed.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know. When I woke up on the morning of my birthday, I was like, I fucking hope my frontal lobe's not fully developed because, listen, I don't feel like it is. I feel like I still got a little bit of stupid up there, you know?
We gotta keep that. Put it in a jar and shake it up sometimes.
Shake up the brain. That means you're next, Riss.
Yeah.
Who has a bar? Oh, well, next, Jess is turning 25.
Yeah.
And then Nan is turning 26,
Ew, Nan.
which is hideous. That's actually disgusting.
Really scared.
Actually kind of makes me go, ew.
Ew, she's old.
Annie not allowed to be 26.
No, we're still 20.